sponsored by the National Prayer Chapel.
God sent His Son to call Him Yeshua. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my pardon. An empty grave is there to prove my Savior lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. God sent His Son, they called Him Yeshua. He came to love, heal and forgive. He bled and died to buy my Savior is. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone.
Life is worth the living just because He lives. I know He holds my future. And as I make this journey, I can't see ahead. I only know what my duty is today. I know it's my duty to do this broadcast. I know it's my duty to love those around me. to treat with love and respect, kindness. I only know the future by what he's told me. One of my favorite people in all of the scripture is Father Abraham. And when I read the story of Father Abraham, I come to some places that terrify me. The Lord comes down and speaks with Father Abraham one-on-one, face-to-face. He tells him that he's going to destroy, annihilate Sodom and Gomorrah because of their sin. The scripture tells us, Jesus tells us in Luke, the 17th chapter, that he's going to do the same thing to the entire world because of our sin. That on the day he comes, it will be a day of fire. Revelation under the sixth seal tells us it's going to be a day of utter destruction. And yet I study, look at the story of Father Abraham, and I'm terrified. Because Father Abraham, even at this point in his life, after having a personal conversation with Jesus face to face, does something very foolish. He sins against the Almighty God of heaven. Part of the human nature seems to be that we keep going back and doing over and over that which we know is wrong. Doesn't mean we don't love Jesus. We do love Jesus. We know he's coming again, and we know he's coming with fire and judgment. And we know this period of time is given to us to get ready. And I'm not dealing with it today, but the Lord is not happy with what Abraham has done, and he's going to come and give him a very, very severe test. God will test you also, and he'll test me. And it will utterly and totally and completely expose our hearts for whatever is in our heart. And what is in your heart is what you've put there. Yes. Jesus in the New Testament talks about building a temple with bricks. I've spent all of my life building this kingdom of God in my heart. I want to be a part of the kingdom of God. It's not something that shows on the outside. It's something that goes on inside of us. Are you building that temple of God in your heart? Somebody wrote to me a long text this morning. It's a very foolish text. All I could respond was, be careful. Be very careful. There's a there's a part of our heart that just wants to leap out and say what we want to say and do what we want to do. I almost titled this broadcast, Be Careful, Be Very Careful. Father Abraham was not careful. And because he was not careful, the Lord finally came to him and gave him an excruciatingly painful testing of his character. After Abraham deals with Sodom and Gomorrah, remember, he went down and stood where he could look out over the valley, and he saw the fire and the smoke. He didn't know for sure if Lot had escaped. He only trusted the word of the Lord. He didn't know about Lot going to the mountain. He didn't know about Lot getting his two daughters pregnant while he was drunk. It's not a pretty story. Lot disappears from the biblical account. But Abraham is still front and center. There's an account being written of your life, and you're front and center in that account. And when you make, can I put it this way, when you make dumb decisions, I've made so many of them, all I can do is weep before the Lord. And he's been kind. He was kind to Father Abraham. Abraham didn't want to live there anymore, and I understand why. I wouldn't have wanted to live there either. So he moved on, struck his tents, took his herdsmen and his warriors, remember, 300 and some servants who were trained in war. He was very powerful. He was exceedingly rich. Everybody knew that he had taken his men and defeated a powerful army. So he's a big man. He's highly respected. He's looked up to. He receives honor. So he moved on from the region that he was in and went to the Negev to Gerar, which was a Philistine region ruled over by Abimelech. And there Abraham reported to Abimelech's servants that, oh yes, that's not my wife. She's pregnant. Oh, that's not my wife. He has a promise that in 1 year a child will be born. That's not my wife. She's my sister. You want her? Go ahead, take her. And he forms an alliance with Abimelech, the king of Gerar. Because he's afraid. He doesn't need to be afraid. He has a much more powerful camp than Abimelech has. Abimelech is afraid of him. But he makes this liaison relationship by giving away the very person who holds his future. She's my sister. So Abimelech, king of Gerar, sends for Sarah, and she goes pregnant. Now this will become the king of Gerar. The child will become his, not Abraham's. What's this whole journey been about all the way through the desert and the well-watered regions and the struggles and the anguish year after year? What's it been all about? A child. His child. And he's given away his child. Oh, yes, yes, Hagar. Why didn't he send Hagar? No, he has Ishmael. He thinks he's got his son. But God doesn't think Ishmael is his son. We make decisions, foolish decisions, because we're afraid. And we give away the very treasure that God intends to use to build his kingdom. What would we think today if we had no forefather called Isaac? What if our forefather was Ishmael, a wild donkey of a man? What would have happened? The whole plan would have been destroyed. So how will he get his wife back? This is the second time he's done this. He did it in Egypt. He gave his wife to Pharaoh. And God embarrassed him. And Pharaoh kicked him out of Egypt. You'd think he would say, okay, I won't do that number again. But there's something about our human hearts that we will just do over and over the foolish mistakes that have gotten us in such trouble. Oh, my brother, my sister. We need the Holy Spirit. I've been crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, please sanctify me. Sanctify my family. Make us holy. Heal us of our disease. Heal and restore. Please. We need you, Jesus. There's a mother who, please pray for my son, Elias. We need a miracle for him, need healing and deliverance, yes. Lord, that's where we're at. We need your healing power. We say the same foolish things time after time to people, and their response is the same. Until I'm almost afraid to speak. I tremble coming on this radio broadcast for fear what I will say will just be chaff, no value, no depth. Abraham wakes up in the morning and his wife is gone. What's he think? Does he think to himself, Sarah can't be pregnant? No. I sent her away. What am I going to do? My wife is gone again. and it's by her that I was to have a child. That's what the Lord Jesus said to me. I'll come back in a year and she'll have a child. And now that child will belong to Abimelech. How can he deal with that? Now the frightening part of this story is that God stepped into it. And he gave Abimelech a dream. And he said to him in the dream, "You are as good as dead because of the woman you have taken. She is a married woman." You're a dead man, Abimelech. You've taken a married woman to be a wife, a liaison, a political partner. You're as good as dead. Now, Abimelech, much to our surprise, is a righteous man. He'd not gone near her, hadn't touched her. He says, "Lord, will you destroy an innocent nation? Did he not say to me, 'She is my sister,' and didn't she also say, 'He is my brother'? I've done this with a clear conscience. My hands are clean." God said to him in a dream, "Yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience. And so I have kept you from sinning against me." Oh, I'm overwhelmed that God kept Abimelech from sinning against God by touching Sarah. I'm so grateful that God comes into my heart and into yours with the intention of keeping us from sinning against him. God doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to cast you into a bed of suffering. He doesn't want to turn you away. God loves you. Jesus died for you. The Lord said, "I know you did this with a clear conscience, so I have kept you from sinning against me." Oh, so many times the Lord has kept me from sinning against him. I am so grateful for his mercy and kindness, where he has stopped me in my tracks and said, "Stop." Sometimes he's done that audibly, where he said, "Stop, don't go any further." "Yes, sir." And then the Lord said, "Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you, and you will live." In other words, I have a very special relationship with this man, Abraham. And if he doesn't pray for you, you will die. Even if you return his wife, you will die. Don't play games with God. God holds your life in his hands. He will either cause you to live or to die, depending on your attitude. When your cup is full, you die. If you do not return her, the Lord said, you may be sure that you and all who belong to you will die. Look, Abimelech, I'm the God of heaven. And you either do what I'm telling you to do and do it quickly, or you will die and all of your family will die. Your kingdom will die. You will become extinct. Early the next morning, Abimelech summoned all of his officials. They had an emergency meeting of all of the officials under Abimelech. He told them all that had happened, and they were all terrified. Then Abimelech called Abraham in and said, "What have you done to us? We are under a threat of death because of you. What have you done to us? How have I wronged you that you have brought such great guilt upon me and my kingdom? You have done things to me that should never be done." And Abimelech asked Abraham, "What was your reason for doing this?" Abraham is a holy man of God. He has walked through the desert with God. God has spoken to him over and over, way back in Haran, way back in Mesopotamia. God spoke with this man. He is a holy man of God. God hears his prayers. He listens to him. But Abraham has done something that displeased the God of heaven. He's given away the woman. He has disrespected the woman that God gave him to be his wife. And God is angry. Not with Abimelech. He's angry with Abraham. And he exposes Abraham completely. If there's anything we need today in the American church, is for God to expose it all. I just heard about a mega church where they put a dancing pool up and a men's conference and a male stripper rips off his shirt, does the pole dance. It's this kind of corruption that fills the American church. Dancing and every unclean thing. Unclean relationships. God is angry with the American church. You've all heard many times the story in Revelation of the Laodicea church. Blind, naked, miserable, and doesn't even know it, thinks they're rich, prosperous. The Lord has some very specific things that he tells the American church they need to do. But at the end of that passage, we find Jesus standing at the door, knocking. And we say, "That's wonderful. Jesus is at the door and he's knocking." No, it's not wonderful. It's awful. Because when Jesus comes and he's knocking, it's either we open the door or he brings fire and judgment. That decision has not been made yet for the American church. Why should Jesus be standing on the outside of the American church? Why isn't he inside? Very simply, the American church has apostatized. Jesus can't be in it. If he went to church in any church in America, they'd throw him out. If the Apostle Paul came preaching in any of the churches in America, they'd throw him out. We have become corrupt and utterly wicked. We like our rituals. We like our entertainment. Gives me heartburn. God is not angry with Abimelech. He says, I know you did this with a clear conscience. But he's angry with Abraham. It's not safe to have God angry with us. He's angry with the American church. He's ready to destroy the whole American church, to burn it to the ground. So the Lord exposes all of the uncleanness. God is beginning to expose all of the uncleanness in the American church. The sweeping has just begun. T.D. Jakes was just the first one. There are many more to come. Many have already been exposed, but it's just beginning to be exposed. There need to be some emergency meetings. We need to get to the bottom of the wickedness in our hearts, where Jesus is kept on the outside because we love our entertainment. We love our rituals. Oh, my brother, my sister, do you see this? Don't get mad at me. I'm not trying to condemn or be hard on you. We've got to get to Jesus. For real. Abraham said, I said to myself, there's surely no fear of God in this place, and they'll kill me because of my wife. No, he was wrong. The fear of God was in Abimelech's heart. It was Abraham who had no fear of God. And it was Abraham that God was angry with. I know many young people. I've come to love them. They do foolish things. They're not Christians. They're pagans. They're Buddhists. They're Hindus. But I happen to be brought into contact with them in such a way that I've come to love them. To be concerned for them as I would for a daughter or a son. And I could say there's no fear of God in their hearts, but there is. There is a fear of God in their hearts. The problem is not in their heart. The problem is my heart. The problem is Abraham's heart. The problem is the church. That's where the problem is. And he explains that he'd ask his wife to show her love by saying everywhere they went, "He's my brother." This was something they had set up. And I have to come and ask you today, what have you set up that's just a ritual in your explanation to the world for why you're the way you are, that's ungodly? How do you explain who you are to the world? You're not like the world. You're not a son or daughter of the world, not if you're a servant of Jesus Christ. Is Jesus on the outside of your life, knocking on the door? Is he on the outside of your church, knocking on the door? But you want your familiar rituals. You want your music. You want your entertainment. You don't want the preacher to talk about what you do, how you live, the coldness of your heart toward Jesus. "Oh, I love Jesus. He loves me. I'm good to go." No, you're not. You fooled yourself, and God is angry with you. God's angry with the whole church today because we don't know how to pray. We don't know how to serve. Sing, O Lord, sanctify us. Make us holy. Turn this thing around. The American church is going to soon be burning. Our buildings will burn. We'll face persecution. Or we'll just blow it all off and say, "Forget it. I want my lifestyle. I don't want holiness." Holiness preachers are not exactly welcome in the body of Christ today. I'm not welcome. I don't know of any churches that would welcome me to preach in their pulpits, even though I have earnestly served and been a pastor for over 50 years. But my message is not one they want their people to hear. We need God to come and intervene, as he did when he came and exposed Abraham. We talk about accountability today in the body of Christ. We need to be held accountable. But we need to be held accountable by Jesus. We need to be exposed. And so, Abimelech returned Sarah, pregnant Sarah, ready to give birth. I mean, that's the next part of the story, chapter 21. Isaac is born. What do you think Sarah and Isaac said when they were reunited, when God sent them back as a couple? And then Abimelech gave Sarah not Abraham, but Sarah, 1,000 shekels of silver to cover her embarrassment. She was embarrassed. That's 25 pounds of silver. At today's price, $27, $28 an ounce. 16 ounces to a pound. You figure it out. It was a lot of money. He said to Sarah, I'm giving you, your brother 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who were with you. You are completely vindicated. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves, so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. He was angry with Abraham, not with Abimelech. And the Lord today is not angry with the world who don't receive the message of our gospel. He's angry with the church. He's standing at the doorway of the church knocking, saying, if you hear me knocking and you open the door, I will come in and we will fellowship. But nobody's opening the door. We don't want to fellowship with Jesus. We want to do our deal. We want to build our monument. We want to be somebody. We want our business to prosper. I'm terrified. I'm terrified. Jesus comes and knocks on a door, either to enter and bring fellowship or to send fire and destroy. He comes as the Savior or he comes as the judge. Right now, he's standing at the door of the American church, and he's ready to judge. I titled this broadcast, Don't Be Afraid. I should have titled it, Be Very Afraid. Be Terrified. You think you can do your little casual church thing on Sunday? No prayer in preparation, no study of scripture in preparation, no, just blow in if you happen to be able to. If you feel up to it, just drop by church. Throw a 20 in the offering plate, or maybe a 50 or 100. Are you kidding me? Do you understand? This is not a time to play church. This is a time to get very serious with God. This is time to get very serious with God. Let's pray. Lord, this was not a message I wanted to give. I find no pleasure in it. I find no pleasure in the exposing of Abraham for his wicked sin against his wife Sarah, shaming her, embarrassing her. Lord, it makes me very troubled the way women have been treated in the American church. These Pharisees that rise up and say, oh no, a woman cannot prophesy in the church. Well, you said in Joel that women would prophesy, that is, preach. It troubles me, Lord, that most who are concerned with holiness have gone to legalism, like John MacArthur and others. Lord, I come pleading today that you would move in such a manner with the power of your Holy Spirit that we who are in the church would open the door and welcome you into the fellowship where we could eat together and speak together, be encouraged by your Holy Spirit, be moved upon by your Spirit, be exposed by your Spirit, uncovered all wickedness in the church, Lord, uncover it now. Lord, I cry before you for your Holy Spirit to come in power. Lord, we need healing, or we're going to die. Healing of our bodies and healing of our souls. Healing of our families. Lord, please come. I know you either come in vengeance or you come in mercy. I ask that you would come in mercy. In your great kindness, would you come in grace and mercy? But I fear that you've done that for years and we have turned aside to a new era of apostasy with money and power, influence and prestige. Lord, please come. And Lord, I come to pray today for men and women who are desperately ill, children who are desperately ill, like Elias and others, wives that are desperately ill. Lord, I come I'm not afraid, for I know you hold the future. I'm not afraid because I've experienced your mercy and grace and love. But I am very afraid. I am very afraid for your church. Lord, I'm nobody. I'm the least of your children. Lord, I come, humble my heart before you. And I pray for those in authority in your church. I pray for those who are looked up to and worshiped by many people. And I ask that all wickedness would be exposed. And I ask that revival would come. You know, Lord, that I've walked away from it all and ask you, would you revive us once again? Would you come and heal our sicknesses once again? Would you come and establish your presence among us once again, Jesus? I need you, my Lord. I don't know how to pray as I ought. I don't know how to pray or what to say. I've tried to be as honest as I know how to be. And that includes recognizing that I'm nobody and have no importance. That you're everything, Jesus. And that all power and authority rest in you, not in this foolish, wicked church that is spread across America. Lord, I come pleading today. I come pleading today for the sick and the broken. I come pleading for your healing, your strength, your wisdom, your Holy Spirit being poured out in great authority and power over us. Whatever you have to do, I ask you to come in power, Holy Spirit of the living God. Whatever you have to do, come, Lord Jesus. I pray in your holy name. Amen. You've been listening to Pilgrim's Progress. I'm Pastor Ray from the National Prayer Chapel. You're welcome to come and visit the National Prayer Chapel on Sunday. We'd love to see you. I'd love to meet you. We meet at 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22192. We're a house church right now, waiting on revival. Pastor Ray Greenlee, 5009 Softwood Lane, Woodbridge, Virginia. You can also write to me. I'd love to hear from you. I need to hear from you. I need you to participate with me in covering the costs of radio and internet, this ministry outreach. Not for me, but for the ministry, the outreach. I don't take from it. You can write to me at National Prayer Chapel, Post Office Box 2346, Woodbridge, Virginia, 22195. Or you can go to our online, please visit our website, nationalprayerchapel.com, and there you'll find Brother Ed Pugh has done an awesome job. God bless you, my brother, my sister. I love you. Jesus loves you.